Anybody else hear crickets? I hope that's not a metaphor for what today is going to be like, but it's an interesting sound to get up and speak and hear crickets. But anyway, life is a miracle. It's really a miracle that we are here this morning. There are millions and millions of circumstances that had to have happened for you to be right here, right now, in this room. There are all kinds of invitations that were made, decisions, people who lived, people who died, and that has led us to here, right now. I'm going to tell just one story of why I'm here. My grandpa, who is my dad's father, served in the Korean War. And one of the stories that he would tell us was that there was a time when he was laying in a bunker, and the ominous sound he heard was a mortar shell just dropping down right in on him. And he said right there he was pretty sure he was going to die as he looked at that mortar shell. And for some reason, it just never went off. It was a dud. And that story always made me think, if that mortar shell does what it's supposed to do and explodes, my grandpa's probably going to die. He's never going to marry my grandma. They're never going to have my dad. And I'm never going to be born. Now, I could tell a lot of other stories of things that happened, and had they turned out a little bit differently, I would never have been here. The same is true for you. Maybe it was a war, maybe decisions, but all these kind of things that almost happened but didn't, and because those things didn't happen, or because those things did happen, you are here today. Life is a miracle. It's amazing. I'm going to ask a few questions starting off this morning, because our names a lot of times convey a legacy. So how many of you, your first name is after a relative who came before you? How many? Let's see. If you have a first name that's a relative, well, there's not too many. A lot less than I expected. Maybe a fourth? Maybe a fifth? Okay. How many of you have a middle name after someone who came before you? Okay. That's a lot higher. Okay. How many of you have a last name of someone who came before you? Okay. That brought us all in together. Names convey a legacy, and a lot of us have names. Our first name, and I'm both, first and middle name came from someone who came before me, and last, yep, my last certainly did. They convey a legacy, and today that's what our theme is legacy, and we're going to be looking at a couple verses in the Bible written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was the man who God used to write the most books in the Bible. And today, the book that we're looking at, just two verses from, is called 2 Timothy. And most scholars believe that this was the last book that Paul wrote, the last biblical book that Paul wrote. And so what we think is happening here is that Paul is writing some kind of last words of wisdom to pass down to young Timothy, who he looked at as a son, a spiritual son. Really believed in him and invested in him. And got another question before we get into Paul's words in 2 Timothy. And those are, how many of you have a younger person who's been named after you, either first or middle name? How many of you? Okay, that's a handful too. Okay, it's an honor, I think, for most of you. I hope it is, because I imagine the person who named a child after you, intended to honor you. I remember when my first daughter was born, her name is Viola, after my grandma, she's right here in the front row here. The day that we had our ultrasound, yeah, we were one of those kind of parents. We wanted to know the sex of our baby. So we had the ultrasound, and we found out it was going to be a girl. We already had a girl name. We didn't have a boy name, so that was great news to us. And the day that we had our ultrasound, it was a Wednesday, and I wanted to drive to Illinois to tell my grandparents about, hey, it's a girl, and this is what the name's going to be. And so it was a Wednesday night, and we went to where my grandparents always were on Wednesday nights at the church, and we kind of pulled them alongside into a room, and Jenny and I read to them this scripture. It's from 2 Timothy 1:5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. And so we read that verse and told them, our daughter's going to be named Vila after my grandma Vila. And I love this verse, and it just conveys something I think that's so important. It was a verse that I'd read over for a lot of years, but what Paul's doing, he's very intentional. He's near the end of his life, and these words are very urgent for Timothy to read. And he's thinking about legacy, you can tell. He's thinking about legacy, and he's thinking about Timothy, and he wants to remind him where he came from. That the faith that lived in Timothy wasn't just Timothy alone, but that he was standing on the shoulders of other people. Specifically, he mentioned his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. And so he's reminding Timothy, your faith came from somewhere. It came from these two heroes of the faith. And here we are, 2,000 years later, on the other side of the world. And these names, you may know a Eunice and you probably know a Lois. Those names are still alive. A legacy, this points out that a legacy is something that you receive. We didn't get a say in who our parents were going to be or our grandparents. We didn't get a say that we were born in America or wherever we came from. We had no say in what kind of school we would be in, the kind of conditions. A legacy is something you receive. Timothy didn't pick his grandmother and his mother. He received that legacy. And so that's one of the things that it's really important for us to remember is a legacy is something you receive. Timothy's faith was first in his grandmother Lois and in his mother Eunice, and it lived in him. We're standing on the shoulders of a lot of other people. Now, we didn't choose to be born in this century, this era, this country, but here we are, and it's a legacy that we've received. Think about this. Two women from 2,000 years ago on the other side of the world poured into one guy named Timothy. Two ladies, one young guy, and here we are on the other side of the world still talking about him. Immortal. I imagine that as Timothy was growing up, and it was real subtle, and these two women probably never had any idea that their names would become so immortal. I think they would be absolutely shocked to hear what has happened, how their names have lived on, and just how important their investment in this one person was, that it was affirmed and put in Scripture. Here we are. The name Lois strikes me, too, because that's a family name for our family. My mom's middle name is Lois, and it is after my grandfather's mother. My grandpa is here, too. I get my middle name from that guy. My middle name's Richard. I get it from him, and so I'm going to try to not make you too sad today and not embarrass you too much. But my grandpa tells a very compelling story, and we had the fortune growing up in church that our family went to church together, my mom and dad, my sister, my brother, with my grandparents. And my grandpa was the song leader, and there was one thing that I loved more than any other thing when he would do. He'd do it every now and then. He would sing this song called The Church Triumphant. It's a Gaither song. And then he would talk in between the verses. He was rap. Are you a rapper? You love rap music, don't you, Grandpa? Grandpa was rapping. No. But he was talking and telling his story. But the story of my grandpa, every time he would talk about his childhood and his life, it was so compelling to me to hear where I had come from and his life circumstances. Because he was raised, he was born to John and Lois Hurd. And unfortunately for my grandfather, his father left. He abandoned the family, and he was left with just his mother, and his mom raised three boys. And fortunately, part of their testimony is that, and a lot of times churches would not let divorced people teach or play the piano or anything like that, but this church was a church of grace. And they opened their arms to my grandpa and his mom, Lois, and their family. And then, so that was part of the legacy that she left. She teamed up with the church to pass down the faith of Christ. And then, when my grandpa was 16, his mother had an aneurysm and died not long after that. And so his father had left the family, and now his mother is gone, and he's 16 years old. And that story was just so amazing. He talked about what the church did for them. And then he went off and he moved to Missouri. His grandparents helped raise him after that. Clyde and Stella Bachman. I have the names right? And his grandma Bachman, Stella Bachman, was a pastor. And one of the amazing parts of that testimony to me is how his grandma, and his mom was just an amazing lady, how his grandma helped him to keep faith in a God when he lost his father and he lost his mom. You got to imagine the kind of questions. But Christ was his rock, and the faith of those ladies, the faith of his grandmother Stella and the faith of his mother Lois was passed on to him. And that faith is living in me too, a namesake of my grandfather. A legacy is something that you receive. It's something that all of us have received. We didn't get choices on where we were born, but we've had people coming before us. And what are we going to do with it? Kind of a side note to the story, too, talking about why we're here today and all those little things that happen. I was thinking about this because there are a couple stories about this guy that I thought about telling and didn't. But his mom died when he was 16, so he moved to Missouri. And there was a cute girl there named Viola Campbell, who he ended up having a crush on, and they got together. And I was thinking, if his mother would have not died when he was 16, I wonder if he would have been in close proximity to my grandmother. My guess is they probably would have never gotten married, and my mom would have never been born, and I would have never been born. So even though that terrible tragedy happened with his mother, I'm here today probably because of those circumstances. We're here because of millions of little things, things that almost happened, things that did happen, and we've received a legacy. I'm going to skip a few verses and look at one other verse from 2 Timothy. This is in 2:12, and it says this, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will also be able to teach others also." Now, this is an important biblical concept, and a lot of times in church we use the English word stewardship, but the concept goes that God owns it all. That we've been entrusted, we've received a legacy, we've received some blessings, we've received some talents, we have resources, and everything that's entrusted into our care, we don't own it, it belongs to God. And so the question for us is, as stewards, what are we going to do with what we have been entrusted with? Paul was reminding Timothy, hey, you've received this legacy of faith, now what are you going to do with it? What you've been entrusted with, a message, you have a heritage. What are you going to do with it? So stewardship is that we are responsible to use what we have in a way that honors God. Legacy is more than just what we receive. It's part of the legacy, but I think what matters just as much, or maybe even more, is what we do with what we receive, how we're going to use what we receive. Paul talked about in a different letter, 1 Corinthians, he talked about what he did with the legacy of the gospel because he received it. He says this, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." The gospel of Jesus, that Jesus died, that Christ died for our sins, as foretold by the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day, was what he received, and he said he passed it on. It was a priority. He had to be intentional. Paul didn't receive the gospel just to keep it for himself, but the question is, what are we going to do with it, what we've received? What are we going to do with it? Are we going to use what we have for the glory of God? Scrapbook that my family has of past photographs has a quote from Corrie Ten Boom, and I'm giving way too much information here, but my youngest daughter Cora, her name's partially inspired by this lady, Corrie Ten Boom, and she says, "Memories are the key, not to the past, but to the future." A legacy is something that you leave, and we look back to the past. not just for nostalgia purposes, but we look back to the past for the sake of the future. A legacy is something that you receive, and a legacy is something that you leave. Again, I've given you a lot of bio. My grandpa's going to come up in a few minutes. But his father walked out on his family. And that's not the legacy that he left with us. See, my grandpa always stressed the importance of family and getting together, being close, a tight-knit group, of the importance of marriage and staying together and putting your family, well, God first and your family second. That was the legacy. And I think one of the ones I'm most proud of, they were always in church, and church was very important, being with the church and growing in Christ. Well, another one that I'm really proud of is that after he retired, he went to a school district, and he became a substitute teacher. My grandpa was the president of his company, and then he resigned, and he became a substitute teacher. I was a substitute teacher for like a couple of times. I was so bad, and it was so awful, they never called me back. It's awful to be a substitute teacher. But the thing is, it didn't take long, and there were some news stories about him, because Grandpa didn't just go to be a substitute teacher. He went to be a substitute grandpa. And the kids around the school, he wasn't Mr. Hurd. His name was Grandpa. And I think, what kind of legacy is that? Even though his dad wasn't there, he wanted to pour out when he had the time, when he could have coasted or done whatever. He went to a school and endured torture as a substitute so that he could be grandpa to that school. What an amazing legacy of passing it down. A legacy is something that you receive, and a legacy is something that you leave. We're getting ready to close up here. And again, I'm a pastor. Most people don't listen. This is just a suggestion. But how do we apply this of thinking about the kind of legacy that we have and the legacy that we're leaving? I want to encourage you just to take 10 minutes this week, maybe 10 minutes, and ask two questions. First question is, what am I passing down to those behind me? Pray about it. Maybe the Spirit of God will speak to you about something, show you something. What am I passing down to those behind me? And then number two, what do I want to pass down to those behind me? These are really important questions for us to ask, because we've all received a legacy. We've all received everything that we have belongs to God. We're not going to keep it forever. But what are we going to do with what we have is the question. And I want to encourage you, if God speaks to you about something, I want to encourage you to do it. Legacy isn't something you wait on. Legacy starts right now. It's the decisions that we make today and soon. So whatever you feel like God, whatever God is saying to you, I want to encourage you to take action, because it's really important what we leave to others. Can you imagine the joy that we'll experience if, when we get to the end of our lives, that we'll be able to look at some people who their lives are better because of us? Can you imagine what it will be like if we could look back and just see, I poured myself out into those people, and they're better for it? Can you imagine the joy of that? My grandpa and his favorite pianist in the world actually goes to our church here too, Gloria Munn, who also has an amazing legacy, the legacy of family that's still here, and a legacy that burns for the church, for her family, for the community, is one that we celebrate, because I see them kind of as a tandem legacy. They even crossed paths with each other in Anderson when they were in their 20s, and my grandparents were fans of her piano playing. But thinking about that and hearing Gloria's heart and getting up and telling people that we've got to pour out into others, and it's obvious when you see people that she's poured out into, they come back. Wouldn't it be cool to have your life and get to the end of it and have a testimony like my grandpa or like Gloria? I hope we do. So they're going to sing this song called The Church Triumphant, and I'm going to pray before they do. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, John the Baptist noted that a person cannot receive one thing unless it is given them from heaven. We have received our lives. We had no choice in where we would be born or what time in history we would live, or who our parents and grandparents would be. We are highly dependent people. We want to remember that life is a gift. Help us to see opportunities that we have to pour out into others. Remind us that we are part of something much greater than ourselves. This Memorial Day weekend, as we honor those who have gone before us, let us be thankful with a mind to bless those who are coming behind us. Help us to pass the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. May our legacy be faith, hope, and love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.